service preached from the pulpit of Holy Cross Anglican Church in Alpine, Texas. Seeking to be faithful witnesses to the one faith once for all delivered to the saints, these homilies are designed to bring forward the faith of the undivided church into our own day, to shape our thinking, to form the pattern of our lives so that we may learn to take up our cross and follow our Lord Jesus Christ. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, one God. Amen. Please be seated. In last week's lessons, we were reminded of the fact that our lives in this present age are for but a little while. And we were exhorted to remember the reality that as Christians, we are always going to be strangers here in this little while in this world. And we're going to be strangers for this very simple reason. We belong to another kingdom. Our citizenship is in heaven. And because we are citizens of another kingdom, our way of life on this earth must not be assimilated into the ways of this world. But we must live a different way. We must live according to the standards of the kingdom, which means that this world as it now is never going to be our home, and that our way of life in this world is going to be the way of the pilgrim. We travel through this world on our way to our true home, and it is through our pilgrimage here that we will finally arrive at our eternal home. And so as citizens of the kingdom of heaven, we must be diligent, we must be vigilant in the way that we live our lives, because we have to be reminded that we do not belong to the here and now, we belong to eternity. We live our life in the present in anticipation of and in preparation for the kingdom of light and life that will have no end. And so it was last week on the third Sunday after Easter that we were reminded that the life that we live here and now on earth is for but a little while. And because it is just for a little while, we learn and we strive to abstain from fleshly lusts. But these fleshly lusts were described by Saint Peter as those things which war against our soul. And now this week, this fourth Sunday after Easter, we are being taught more on the same theme. We are being taught how it is that we are to live out the eternal in this present age. We're being taught not just a list of things that we shouldn't do and another list of things that we should do. No, we're being given something much, much better. For today we are being taught, as one commentator puts it, to make heaven of earth itself. Among the manifold changes of the world, to have our hearts at anchor within the veil. So that by fixing our affections and our wills on the things of heaven, the things that will live forever, we will know joy and peace and rest here and now, even in the most challenging of circumstances. Now, St. James puts it this way in our epistle lesson. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Every single person in this world longs for good. We have been created for good and for joy and for peace. But even the best that this world has to offer, at its best, is imperfectly good. And some of the so-called good things that we have here come to us at an exceptionally high cost. And so often the good that we have here is fleeting and perishable. Today's good is tomorrow's baggage. The things that brought satisfaction yesterday are too often the frustrations of today. And if you follow history at all, yesterday's heroes are today's villains. Cultural norms and values shift. And if we're going to try to make our home here in this world, we're going to be thrown into an ever-moving and ever-changing world that is little better than a sea of chaos. This is why we put our anchor within the veil. This is why we establish ourselves in the things of the kingdom. For it is here, with our anchor within Christ, we find the very opposite of life in this world. In Him we find stability. In Him we find constancy. In Him we find peace and calm. And this isn't because of anything that we have done. This is only because of the greatness of his love. And so our epistle continues, of his own will, he brought us to birth by the word of truth. And then he goes on to say that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. That's an interesting turn of phrase, the first fruits of his creatures. But that's precisely what it means to be a Christian in this world. In Christ, we have died and we have been raised to new life. In Christ, the claims of this present age have lost all their grip upon us, and we are now the first fruits of his new creation. But what's this about first fruits? Now, St. James takes an image that is quite familiar to everyone who understands the principles of sowing and reaping, of planting and harvest. The first fruits are those first ripe heads of grain, those first full ripe fruits. Those first fruits stand as the promise of the full harvest to come in. And that's exactly what we are. We are the first fruits in this world. We bear witness by our lives to the coming of the full harvest. We stand bearing witness to the fullness of the coming of God's righteous kingdom. And so when we begin to think about this, the applications of this truth are many. St. James says, "So let every one be swift to hear, slow to speak." Which if we would just learn this simple fact, we would avoid so many painful misunderstandings. But right along with this comes the exhortation to be slow to wrath, to be patient in hearing and speaking and reacting, because we remember that the wrath of man can never work the righteousness of God. We are to put away from us all filthiness of living, all wickedness, the very things that characterize this present age in this world, this wickedness and filthiness. But he's not setting up for us a list. Here's the thing that we must not do. There's also a positive admonition. Receive with meekness the engrafted word. The engrafted word, this is the Holy Scriptures interpreted and understood with the whole church of every time and place. For this word is able to save our souls. We are exhorted to be hearers of this word and doers of this word. And this is what it means to be the first fruits. This is what it means to be citizens of heaven in this present age. But over all of this, there hangs the question of how. Okay, that's great in theory. We see that's what we're supposed to be. But how are we going to live this way? Is this just pure effort on our part, that we just pull ourselves into holiness by our own strength? Now, make no mistake, effort is involved. It takes labor to enter into God's rest, and nobody has ever become holy by accident. We have to learn to cooperate with the grace of God. We must learn to give ourselves over to the Spirit and walk by the Spirit. But we go this way of the cross that we are called to, knowing that God is not absent, nor is he far away, but he is actively with us. He is in us to lead us into all truth and peace. And that's the lesson that we have in our gospel lesson today. And our gospel lesson takes us once again to a very familiar place. We're back in the upper room with the disciples on Maundy Thursday. But the words that Jesus has just spoken to the disciples has filled them with dread. They're sitting around the table, the very table upon which the sacrament of the Eucharist has just been instituted. It's John 16 this morning, and we're joining with the disciples as they're trying to process the words that they have just heard from Jesus. He's just told them that he's going to be leaving them, and more than that he's going to be gone, he tells them that if the world hated him, they're going to hate his disciples in exactly the same way. The servant is not greater than his Lord, he said. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. and the disciples, in their seeking to fulfill the commandment of Christ, they are going to be so out of step with the ways of this world that they are going to be put out of the synagogues, and those who will try to kill them are going to do so thinking that they're serving God. They're delusional. Their sin has blinded them. But on top of all of this, again, remember, Jesus has said he's going away. For whither I go, thou canst not follow me now. He's going to depart. He's going to leave them. He's going to leave them to suffer the persecution and rejection of this world. And it's with this in mind that we hear the first words of our gospel. Now I go my way to him that sent me, and none of you asketh me, whither goest thou? But because I have said these things, sorrow has filled your heart. There is a sad, dark silence that hovers over everything in this room. There's not a single disciple, not even Peter, has something to say to this. They don't know how to interact with what Jesus has just told them. But in the midst of this sadness, Jesus speaks. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. It is better for the disciples. It is better for us that he departs. And here he's not just referring to those 3 days between Good Friday and Easter, but he's referring to his ascension and to his taking his place at the right hand of the Ancient of Days. Because it's going to be through his departure that the third person of the Blessed Trinity, the Holy Spirit, is going to be sent into this world. And it's going to be through the working of this Spirit that many of the enemies of Christ will come to discover their own sin. And many of those who persecuted Christ and his disciples will be brought to repentance and faith in this one whom they formerly hated. The Spirit is going to show the way of true righteousness. He is going to bring justice into the world, which will mean the eventual casting out of Satan. But Jesus only speaks a little bit of what's coming. There's so much that the disciples have to learn, and there's so much that we need to learn along with them. And this is in part what these days between Easter and Pentecost have been given to teach us. Here Jesus says, I have yet many things to say to you, but ye cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. It's going to be through the sending of the Spirit that the presence of God will remain with us, to lead us. And it's going to be through the sending of the Spirit that we are going to be enabled to live as citizens of heaven here, even in this fallen world. It is as we walk by the Spirit that we travel through this world on the pilgrim's path. It's through the indwelling of the Spirit that we can even experience heaven while still on earth. Today, we begin the preparations for the next two major events on the church calendar. The ascension of our Lord is rapidly approaching. There, he is going to take his seat at the right hand of his Father. And then 10 days after that, we're going to see the miraculous work of the Father sending the Spirit into this world through his Son, to dwell in us, to dwell among us, to unleash the power of the eternal kingdom in our own hearts and in our lives. Make no mistake, these are more earth-shattering events. These are continuing manifestations of the power of the resurrection. We say the word often, everything is different because of Easter, and it is so true. The world is forever different because of Easter. We can truly walk in the way of Christ. We can truly go the way of the cross. We don't have to be subject to the lusts of the flesh. We don't have to give in to those desires of the body. We can walk in holiness as we walk in the Spirit. So today, as we continuing to celebrate the resurrection of Christ and his victory over death, let us prepare to celebrate the further joy that comes to us in the ascension and in Pentecost. So let us today cast off the works of darkness. Let us put on the armor of light. Let us stop messing around with the playthings of this world and seek true joy. Let us take up our cross and let us follow him, and let us offer ourselves to him so that we might be filled with all of his life. And this morning, let us come with open hearts and open hands to receive the unspeakable gift that he gives us in his very body and blood. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, one God. Amen. For listening to Homilies from Holy Cross. If you would like to know more about Holy Cross, you can check us out online at holycrossalpine.org, and you can also find us on Facebook and Twitter. Homilies from Holy Cross is a production of Holy Cross Anglican Church in Alpine, Texas.